This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 16th verse, which we've already read. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible teaches that man basically is spirit, living in a body, possessing a consciousness. The body is not the real me. It is just a tent in which I am presently living. One of these days, I'm going to move out of this tent and into my permanent house, the building of God that is not made with hands, that is eternal in the heavens, the mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare for me. But in the meantime, I'm living in this tent, this body, but the body isn't me. Just the instrument that God has given to me by which I can express myself. God has purposed that the body be the medium of expression whereby we are able to relate to each other. What we are, what we feel, what we think. But the real me is spirit, living in a body, possessing a consciousness. The spirit is actually the God side of man. Or you might say, the supernatural side of man. Jesus said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it is on that spiritual side that I meet with God. God's spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's the God side of me. This is how God, of course, intended man to live, walking after the Spirit. For to live after the flesh is to be alienated from the life of God. Paul the Apostle said, "And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." You see, man's spirit, that God side of him, died when man sinned. God said to Adam, "In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die," when he warned him about the one tree in the garden. When man disobeyed God and ate of that tree, he died. You said, "Oh, wait a minute, he didn't die immediately. He sewed fig leaves together and tried to cover his nakedness and all." He died spiritually. The God side of him died, and man then lived after the fleshly side of his life, the natural side of his life. Living after the natural side of his life, he lived now like an animal, which has a body and possesses a consciousness. And so an animal lives a body-conscious life. Man began to live like an animal, living in a body-conscious life. That is, the mind of man absorbed by the things of the body and by the needs of the body, just like an animal. Plants have body. Animals have a body and a consciousness. Man has a body, a consciousness, but also a potential for a spirit which he once had, which is dead as the result of trespasses and sins. "And you hath he made alive, who were dead," talking about the spirit of man, that God side of man. Man who lives after the flesh is called in the scripture the natural man, because that's after the natural side of my being. He is also called the life of the flesh, also referred to as the carnal man. He is a man who is living after the flesh. His mind is absorbed with the needs of his body and how he can satisfy those needs. Now, many of the magazines today, in fact, probably the most of the magazines today, are designed for such people, people who live after the flesh. And so Playboy, Cosmopolitan, Vogue, these are designed for people whose main interest in life are the things of the flesh, how they might satisfy the desires of their flesh. And they feature and promote people who are living after the flesh. For these people are the darlings of the world around you. Oh, I want to know more about, you know, his affair. I want to know more about his lifestyles. I want to know more about his fancy home. And so the interviews, the pictures, well, who are you living with now, you know? And the whole fleshly scene, which really the world looks at and admires. For the flesh is in antagonism with the spirit and is at war with the spirit. We read here, "For the flesh is warring against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary." Now, man is living either after the spirit or after the flesh. You are walking after the spirit or you are walking after the flesh. Jesus maintained that the life walking after the spirit is superior to the life walking after the flesh. This was the basic foundational teaching of Jesus Christ, the superiority of the spirit to the flesh. In fact, Jesus said, if you're walking after the flesh, you're as good as dead. That if any man have not the spirit, he is really not living. He that hath the Son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. Shall not see life. Doesn't know what living is all about. What delusion the world around us lives under today, as it holds up the life in the flesh as real living. The Bible says it's death. The person who is living in the flesh or after the flesh doesn't really know what real life is all about. And because Jesus proclaimed the superiority of the life in the spirit over the life of the flesh, he offended those who were living after the flesh. They didn't like being told that they were wrong. And because Jesus persisted in this position, they put him to death. A man doesn't want to be told that the indulging of his flesh is wrong. And he will strike out against those who would inhibit his following after his fleshly whims. The life of the flesh is opposed to the life of the spirit, contrary to it. But we have all discovered that the desires of the flesh are extremely powerful motivators. So that quite often, even though we have decided that we want to live after the Spirit, we do not always subdue the desires of our flesh. You remember one night Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, the Spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is so weak." And I am certain that the Lord has said that to me on many occasions. "Chuck, your spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak." I have a desire to be a spiritual man. I desire to do the things of the Spirit, to walk after the Spirit. But there is a warfare. My flesh is seeking to control me. And this battle rages, and unfortunately, the spiritual side doesn't always win. Now, Paul the Apostle tells us that it is possible to experience victory over our flesh. He said, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh." What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You will notice here that the word Spirit is capitalized, so that means to walk after the Holy Spirit. It means that I seek to be led by the Spirit in my activities. Now, I find it completely incongruous. In fact, I find it bordering on blasphemy for a man to go around constantly saying, "Oh, I want God's will for my life more than anything else. Oh, how I want God's will to be done in my life." And yet, he never does ask God what his will is. Now, there's something wrong there. There's a real slip-up between the lips and actions. If I want to be led of the Spirit, that means I must seek the guidance of the Spirit when I am facing different issues. I must stop and ask, "Lord, what would you have me to do at this point? Lord, what is your will in this matter? How do you want me to respond, Lord, to this issue?" To be led of the Spirit takes the active seeking of the Spirit to lead me in each situation. The Bible says that if in all of our ways we acknowledge Him, He will direct our path. But it takes the acknowledging of God in every situation. To walk in the Spirit means that I yield my body to God and to the Holy Spirit as the temple or the dwelling place of the Spirit. Paul said, "Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you?" Now, that means that I offer to the Spirit of God my body, that He might dwell within me. For a long time, I thought this meant giving Him the key and saying, "Hey, you're welcome anytime you want. Come on in, don't knock. You can share with me my body as a dwelling place." But I found that sometimes when I would come home and find that he had rearranged the furniture, I was sort of upset. He removed some of the pictures off the wall without asking my permission. He'd take it upon himself to clean up some of my dirty closets. I wasn't quite ready to get rid of some of those things. And I found that I had great difficulty with trying to co-inhabit with the Spirit. I finally learned that it meant really to just sign over the title deed and say, here, you take over. Not dwell with me, I'll dwell with you. You become the master of the house. And once I signed over the title deed, and I began to live with the Spirit rather than inviting the Spirit to live with me, a vast change took place. He was now the host. I was the guest. He was the one now directing the activities. I was the one following. To walk after the Spirit means that I yield my body now to the Spirit, that my body might become the instrument through which God might do His work. Now, when Jesus was upon the earth, His body was God's instrument. He was doing God's work. He said to His disciples, "The works that I do not of myself, but the Father who dwells in me." He's the one who does the works. In other words, when Jesus placed His hand upon the blind eyes and opened them, they were actually the hands of God being placed upon those blind eyes. He was doing the work of God in opening the eyes of the blind. He was doing the work of God in restoring to health those that were sick. He was doing the work of God in bringing back to life even those who had died. Now, when Jesus ascended into heaven, God no longer had His hands to do His work through on earth. And so He chose that men should yield their bodies as instruments to God, that through men God might continue His work upon the earth. And so God wants to use my hands. God wants to use my voice. God wants to use my body as His instrument to do His work. And to walk in the Spirit means that I yield my body as an instrument through which God might do His work in the world today. What is the result of this? Well, my life will begin to bring forth fruit. If I am walking in the Spirit, the fruit of that will be agape, God's divine love flowing through me. Man exists on three planes, body, soul, and spirit. So life or love exists on three planes, physical, emotional, and spiritual. The Greeks were wise enough to separate it with three Greek words, eros, phileo, and agapas. English, we have one word. And so the word really gets overused and loses a lot of true definition. People talking of the eros say, "Let's make love." That's really incorrect. They would be more correct to say, "Let's indulge our lust with each other." love on the physical plane. God wants us to love on the spiritual plane. Love on the physical plane is extremely selfish, getting for itself. Love on the spiritual plane is giving. More desiring of the benefits that it can bring to the others than the benefits I might reap for myself. Greater desire to bring pleasures to others than pleasure to myself. The fruit of the Spirit is spiritual love, agapas, or agape in this case. Now, fruit indicates to us the method of God. You see, fruit develops naturally as the result of relationship. There is nothing an orange can do to make itself an orange, except hang in there. As it is related to the tree, as it just hangs there, it turns from green to orange. The sugar comes into it. It ripens. It becomes sweet. I can't do anything as far as works, as far as effort, to really produce God's fruit in my life. It comes by abiding in Christ. It comes by walking in the Spirit. It's just the natural product of relationship. The moment I step into the works area, I am in the realm of the flesh. Now, my flesh knows how to work. And fruit is in contrast to works. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And Paul gives us that long list of the works of the flesh. But then he turns around and contrasts, but the method of God, the fruit of the Spirit. The word Spirit indicates to us the dynamic of God. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Greek word is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamic. The Spirit of God is God's power working within our lives, doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. So as I walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit begins to come forth from that relationship as the power of the Spirit of God now is working within my life. The dynamics are there. And what I could not do for myself because of the weakness of my flesh, I find now God's Spirit doing for me. The word love, agape, indicates to us the issue of the Spirit. So the method is fruit, the dynamic is the Spirit, and the issue of that relationship with the Spirit is the agape. A word unknown in classical Greek, for the most part. A word unknown in the world around you. Because the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them. The natural man knows nothing of the walk in the Spirit, the life in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You've got to be born of the Spirit to know that. Jesus said, you've got to be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel when I say you must be born again. Man must have a spiritual birth to know of the things of the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. This word agape is then defined by Paul as it results in my life and as it issues forth from my life. The first result of it within my life is joy. Oh, what joy seeing the love of God wrought in my life. It is peace. It creates within me long-suffering and patience. Causes me to be kind and gentle and good and trusting and meek and temperate. These are the results of walking in the Spirit. These will be the qualities manifested in my life as I walk in the Spirit. And if I walk in the Spirit, then I will not be fulfilling the desires of my flesh. Now, these are manifested. The desires of my flesh, the things that the world admires, the things that the world really receives its scintillations from: adultery, fornication, sexual perversion, idolatry, drug abuse, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Paul said that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is spiritual. And yet these are the things that are portrayed in the movies for people to enjoy. And people go to the movies and get their enjoyment by watching adultery, fornication, sexual impurities, idolatries, hatreds, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. Why is it that Dallas is so popular? Because it's so pure. He's such a pure man. No, you see, the world is still antagonistic towards the Spirit and the life of the Spirit. Jesus affirmed it's superior to the life of the flesh, and they crucified him for it. To walk after the Spirit will not make you the darling of the world. Merv Griffin won't be calling you for an interview so that he can expose to the whole world your lifestyle so they can get all excited. They don't want to hear about it. They'll turn off their TVs. The ratings will go down. The world isn't wanting to hear about the things of the Spirit. It's still in antagonism and still warring against the Spirit. The two things are still contrary. But God intended that man should live after the Spirit. In fact, according to God, that's the only life. The other is not life. It's really death. He who lives for pleasure is dead while he is still alive. That is his own pleasure. So, walking after the flesh, walking after the Spirit. It's one or the other. For if you walk after the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. Shall we pray? Father, help us today to measure and evaluate life on the various levels, and may we determine on what level we wish to live, like an animal or like Jesus Christ. Father, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will walk after the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to abide in Christ, and that His Word might abide in us, that we might live after the Spirit, be led of the Spirit, and walk after the Spirit. A life, Father, in fellowship with You. In Jesus' name, amen. As you look at your own life, how would you evaluate it? Life after the flesh or life after the Spirit? What seems to dominate your consciousness? The things of the Spirit or the things of the flesh? What seems to control your activities? The lust of the flesh or the Spirit of God? Paul said, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is really none of his. They who live after the flesh and do the works of the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you're sowing to your flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to your Spirit, then of the Spirit you're going to reap life everlasting. Walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. What is it with you, with your life? Perhaps some of you have been caught up in the flesh and some of these works of the flesh, and you're beginning to experience the misery, the death, the hell of it. And this morning you'd like to turn. You'd like to change. You'd like to repent. The Bible says, cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. We by the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the flesh, then we can live. All that you need is available. God's Spirit is the dynamic. Maybe you need to sign the title deed over to Him today and let Him take over and rule in your body. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to pray with you. God bless you. Give you a beautiful week. Enriching your life in all things in Christ. Bringing to you the glorious dynamics of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who by the Spirit was raised from the dead. And if that Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then He's going to make you alive unto God and to the things of God in a glorious way. May the resurrection of Jesus Christ bring a greater power and dynamic to you than you've ever known before as we celebrate together the hope of the world, the resurrection of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. If you would like further information on any of our products or to receive our free catalog, contact The Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.